From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. On this eighth anniversary of the terror attacks that prompted the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, a leading Senate Democrat is demanding that far more Afghan security forces be trained. Until that happens, Armed Services Chairman Carl Levin says no further commitment should be made to send more U.S. troops to Afghanistan. More from NPR's David Wellna.
With a request expected soon from the top U.S. military commander in Afghanistan for more U.S. forces, Armed Services Chairman Levin said the emphasis should be on training more Afghan forces.
We need a surge of Afghan security forces. Our support of their surge will show our commitment to the success of a mission that is clearly in our national security interest, without creating a bigger U.S. military footprint that provides propaganda fodder for the Taliban.
John McCain, the top Republican on the Armed Services Committee, said he too thinks more Afghan troops should be trained.
But without significantly increased troop presence, that training alone will not succeed.
McCain said what's needed in Afghanistan is a surge in U.S. forces. David Wellna, NPR News, the Capitol.
Dignitaries and families of those killed in the September 11th terror attacks gathered in New York today at Ground Zero to commemorate the dead. NPR's David Folkenflik has this report.
On a blustery, wet morning, survivors and people active in public service gathered by the site where the World Trade Center towers once stood and read aloud the names of those who died one by one.
Lauren Francis Bazoo.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg said New York City would be the first to take up President Obama's designation of each September 11th as an annually recognized day of service, honoring those who answered a call to try to save others amid the carnage.
We will safeguard the memories of those who died by rekindling the spirit of service that lit our city with hope.
Vice President Joe Biden attended as well, invoking the words of the poet Mary Oliver to remind Americans that while bound by grief, they are also united by the joys of daily life. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.
Signs of higher sales at the wholesale level, along with a boost in consumer sentiment, are the latest indicators to give credence to an improving economy. The Commerce Department reported today wholesale sales rose 0.5% in July, while stockpiles on shelves and backlots fell. Meanwhile, a Reuters University of Michigan survey showed a consumer confidence index last month up by nearly 5 points. Bill Cheney is an economist with John Hancock Financial.
This number was definitely up quite significantly. We're up enough above the lows from last winter to be fairly confident that consumers are feeling better. And feeling better means ultimately spending more.
Economist Bill Cheney. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week down 22 points to close at 9,605. This is NPR. Coast Guard officials are defending what they say was a routine training exercise on the Potomac River today that briefly set off a major scare. The exercise, picked up on closed-circuit radio channels, discussed shots being fired at what was termed a suspicious vessel. The incident prompted media reports and sent FBI agents scrambling to the scene that also led to a brief grounding of planes at nearby National Airport. Coast Guard officials defended the drill, even though today marked the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attack, saying such exercises occur every day. Confusion was brought to mind an event earlier this year in New York when a presidential airliner and two F-16 jets were flown low over the city as part of a White House photo shoot. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has apologized on behalf of the British government for the way a brilliant World War II codebreaker was treated for being gay, and Paris Rob Gifford reports.
Gordon Brown's statement comes as a result of a petition signed by 30,000 people, including many public figures, calling for a posthumous apology for Alan Turing. Turing was a brilliant mathematician who helped crack Nazi Germany's Enigma communications code, which proved to be a turning point in World War II. But Turing was gay at a time when homosexual activity was still illegal in Britain, and in 1952 he was prosecuted for gross indecency. He was given experimental chemical castration as a treatment, and his security privileges were removed. 2 years later, at the age of 41, he committed suicide. Gordon Brown, writing in the Daily Telegraph newspaper, said, "While Alan Turing was dealt with under the law of the time, his treatment was, of course, utterly unfair." Rob Gifford, NPR News, London.
Crude oil futures fell $2.50 a barrel to close at $69.44 a barrel. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.